Thank you, Brother Pastor Drew. Praise the Lord. And God led Pastor Drew here and his wife to us. We thank the Lord for his ministry and his encouragement and how God's using him. And I'm praying God will continue to use him right here in our midst to be a blessing to all of us. I hope you're an encouragement to him as well. And I want you to take your Bibles tonight and I want you to turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I want to preach a very simple basic message tonight, a message that you could probably preach as well. And sometimes it's important that we be reminded of the basics. When I was playing soccer, the coach would, every soccer camp, really every practice, he would have us trap the ball and pass the ball and all that good stuff. You got to have the basics, the fundamentals down. And sometimes we forget the basics of our Christian life and Christian walk. The basic things that we ought to be doing. I want to ask you, either probably just in your mind, I guess, I want to ask you to think with me a minute about the things that you do every day. Okay? Take a minute and think. What are the things that I do every day? All right? Some of you may eat every day. All right? That's a good thing. You can write that down. I'm trying to help you around a little bit. Say, all right, I eat every day. I drink water or some kind of fluid, not alcohol, of course, every day. Okay, some of you might take medicine every day. All right, say, well, I hope to get off this medicine, take medicine. Maybe you exercise every day. I hope, where are the young people? I hope you brush your teeth every day. That's important, isn't it? Yeah, I hope... Well, I guess everyone has different opinions on this. I take a shower every day, all right? Every day I take a shower. And I know junior high boys like to go more than every other day, you know, once a week. Oh, it's been a couple weeks, whatever it is, all right? But there are some things that we ought to do every day. I try to tell my wife I love her every day. I try. Do the best I can, tell her, try to show her the things that you do in your life every day. I was struck with Psalm 145 and what the psalmist says in verse number 2. This is a great psalm. This is a psalm of praise to the Lord. The psalmist says this, look at verse 1 and we'll get a running start to verse 2. I will extol thee. I will lift thee up, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Psalmist says, every day will I bless thee. Hey, there were some things on his list, some things that I'm sure he had to do on a day-by-day basis, but he said, every day I'm going to praise your name. Every day I'm going to praise you, Lord. You think it's easy to praise God when things are going good. So I have a good day today and everything's good and things are going my way. And beautiful weather and things are just good. Hey, I'm going to praise the Lord. But sometimes there are days when you don't feel too hot. We still need to praise the Lord. There are some days when it seems like everything's going against me. I still need to praise the Lord. There are days when, quite frankly, in our flesh, we don't feel like praising the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, every day will I bless thee. I'm going to give you the message here in one little sentence, and that is this. Will you choose from today on, I'm going to praise God every day? Why? Let me give you some reasons why, basic reasons why I think it's important for us to praise the Lord every day. Number one, because praise pleases God. Look at verse 3. The psalmist said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. God deserves our praise. Do you know we ought to praise God? Because praise acknowledges God. It gives God His rightful place in our lives and in this world. You know, we live in a society, we know this already, where people are ignorant of God. People don't want God. They don't want God in the public school. They don't want prayer in the public school. They don't want God anywhere. It's interesting. People can play their rock music anywhere they want and everything's fine. The second you pull out your radio and you begin to play Christian music, hey, people have a problem. Or you say, hey, I want to talk about the Lord. Hey, people have a problem. Praise acknowledges God. It gives God His rightful position in our lives. It gives God His rightful position. Praise acknowledges God and who He is. The psalmist David knew how to praise the Lord. I won't look at all the passages of Scripture here, but 1 Samuel chapter number, Psalm 18. Go back to Psalm 18. There's this psalm is also found in Samuel. Psalm 18, the psalmist said this, I love Thee, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And this psalm is really just a psalm of praise. And we can find over and over and over again where the psalmist lifts up his voice in praise to God. Praise acknowledges God. It gives God His rightful position. Number two, we ought to understand that praise pleases God because it acknowledges God. But secondly, praise moves God. Praise moves the hand of God. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I want us to see here when it comes to the dedication of the temple here. In 2 Chronicles 5 and verse number 13. Solomon built the temple. Thus all the work, verse 1, that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And they brought all these things, etc. And verse number 13, it says this. And it came even to pass that the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, He is good, His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. God came down. Flip to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to show you another verse. God came down in power on the temple and filled the temple when? When God's people lifted up their voice in praise to Him. It's interesting. Psalm 22 and verse 3, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, here's a situation with Jehoshaphat. You're familiar with the story. He's got a number of armies against him, and he cries out to the Lord, and he asks God for wisdom. He says in verse number 12, we don't know what to do. We got no might against this company. And the Spirit of God comes upon a prophet here and says, hey, don't worry about it. The battle's the Lord's. And then here's what the Bible says in verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Now look at this. Here they assemble all the soldiers together. They assemble the army together. They're outnumbered. And they put at the front of the army, not the strongest and those that knew what they were doing the best. No, they put these people here to sing praises. It says they go out before the army. And when, verse 22, they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Not take too much time on this story. What I want us to see from this story, from this account, is this. God moved on behalf of His people when His people began to praise Him. You see, when we think about this, and we could spend all night just on this one truth, praise acknowledges God. It puts God in His rightful position. He is the great God, the sovereign God, the creator of this whole universe. When I lift my voice and my heart in praise to Him, I acknowledge He is God, He is King, He is Lord. Praise the Lord. Our tendency is to be focused on the negatives. Our tendency is to be focused on the things in life that we don't like or that we wish would change. God always does good. Always. He always does. He is good. And we ought to stop on a regular basis. And we ought to say, you know what? I'm going to praise God. I'm going to acknowledge His rightful position in my life, in this world. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. There's much more that could be said here. If you look at Psalm 145, there's just some great truth. The psalmist says here, He's good. He's gracious. He's glorious. This is Psalms full of all kinds of stuff about God. His glorious majesty, verse 12. The Lord's gracious, verse 8, acknowledges God. Number two, we ought to praise God every day. And I want to challenge you to praise God every day, not only because praise pleases God, but because praise encourages other people. Look at verse 4. Psalm 145 and verse 4, the Bible says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Praise encourages others. You say, how does it encourage others? Number one, it encourages others by teaching them about God. One generation, the generation that experienced the faithfulness of God, the generation that understood and knew who God was to praise God that the other generation might be taught about God and about His greatness. Think with me about this. Actually, let's just turn to Daniel chapter number 2. The book of Daniel and chapter 2. I got to thinking about these fellas here, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Got to thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. And I think, and you can disagree with me, that's fine. I think eventually Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Seems to be some indication there. But in Daniel chapter number 2, he's not saved, and he has a dream. And he has this dream, and you know, nobody can interpret this dream. And the Bible says, hey, the king was angry, Daniel 2 and verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. All right, so the king's upset. Has a dream, doesn't remember what it is. What do we do? These wise men can't help me. We're getting rid of all of them. And Daniel goes to him and he says, hey, can you give me some time? And he goes to his friends, verse 7. Daniel went to his house and made this thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that they would desire, verse 18, mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Then, verse 19, was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Great prayer. He praises God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is awesome. He praises God. And then he goes in and he has to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream is. And here's the thing. It's interesting. I think it's in this story. Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king ordained. I'm reading verse 24. Verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives. There's a message right there. I found this guy. Hey, king, I'm the guy that found this guy that knows your dream. Tries to take some credit for himself. But I want us to see this. What does Daniel do? Daniel goes in to Nebuchadnezzar, and in verse number 28, he says this, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. What Daniel does is he gives the praise and the honor and the glory to God. And I think he begins the teaching process for Nebuchadnezzar as Nebuchadnezzar realizes, because why? What does Nebuchadnezzar say in verse 48? The secret is made known, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Daniel praises God. So this isn't me, this is God. And that begins to teach Nebuchadnezzar, oh, okay, this isn't you. There's a God then that revealeth secrets. Go another chapter or two in your mind, and we have the story of the fiery furnace. What does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? They say to the king again, hey, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we're not listening to you. And they go into the fiery furnace, and there's four walking in the fiery furnace. And it's interesting, again, what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse number 28 of Daniel chapter 3. Verse 28, he says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. What am I saying? I'm trying to help us to see this. Praise encourages others. And the first way that it encourages others is it teaches others about God. And Daniel in chapter 2 said, hey, God revealed this secret. And Nebuchadnezzar's going, okay, this isn't Daniel. This is his God that he serves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, hey, we have a God that we serve. And this God's able. This God's able to do it. And God does deliver them. And Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, there's something about their God that is great. And as we, as God's people, praise God, it teaches other people about God. It teaches other people that God is great and that God's greatness can be displayed not only in your life, but it can be displayed in my life. And obviously, as the psalmist says here, one generation shall praise the Lord to another generation. Let me say this, the older we get, I'll put myself in that boat, the more we should have to praise God for. We shouldn't be down in the mouth, you get older and say, okay, the world's falling apart and there's no hope. No. Older Christians ought to have more to praise God for because they've seen God's faithfulness displayed in greater and in fuller ways than the younger generation. The older generation should be able to say, hey, God did this in my life. Think about the older generation here. You've been around the block 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 100 times, right? And you have experience. You have experience not only in circumstances in life, you have experience in a walk with God. You have been where we haven't been yet. And you're acknowledging and praising God teaches the younger generation, hey, I can see God in a deeper and in a fuller way. It teaches others, it encourages others by teaching them about God. But number two, when it comes to teaching others, and I'm kind of meshing all these together, so I'm just going to give you the points and then I'll mesh them all together and I'll feel better. All right? So it teaches others about God. But number two, it teaches others about me. You say, what do you mean? Any success in my life is not because of me. It's because of Him. You see? And you see, some people may look at you and say, hey, I look at that guy, and that guy knows how to turn a buck. That guy knows how to make a success. That guy's been a success in his life. Any success in your life is because of him, not because of you. And when I communicate praise the Lord, when I express praise to God, it teaches others not just about God, but it teaches others about me that I am God dependent, that I need God in my life if anything's going to happen that does anything in eternity. If there's going to be any success experienced in my life, it's because of Him, and I need Him. And as I praise the Lord, it teaches others about God. And it teaches others about me. Secondly, when it comes to encouraging others, and I'll give you both of these, and then we'll move to our third truth here. Number two, not only does praise encourage others by teaching them, it encourages others by motivating them. You say, what do you mean? Two very basic things. Number one, it motivates them to serve God Himself. Right? You say, hey, what is it about your life that caused you to get from where you were to where you are? God. Okay, well maybe that's what I need in my life. You see, as I look at influencing other people, what do we want to do with our lives? We want to motivate others in their walk with the Lord. I tell people this all the time each week as we go out and try to knock on doors, try to talk to people. I say, you know what I see my job is? My job is to help you to have as close of a relationship with God as you possibly can. That ought to be our goal, right? It ought to be to help others wherever they are in their relationship with God. You say, where are you at? I feel like my relationship needs help. It's a two. Okay, let's help you to take steps. Let's help you in your walk with the Lord. And as I praise the Lord, it motivates others to see the connection between God and God in the center of my life and seeing that the missing ingredient is God. And we want to motivate others to serve God, but I think praise also motivates others to praise God. You say, yeah, Charlie Kitcher used to say, if God does it, I'm going to tell it. And as we look at praising God, as we look at being full of praise and saying God is great and it's all about God, that motivates others to say, hey, I need to praise God as well. I need to lift my voice in praise. It catches. Right? You ever find some of your phrases in other people's life? A number of years ago, I'm going to give you a long story really short, okay? I'm going to try. My grandfather, when he was alive, we used to work for him. And my youngest brother worked for him more. And he would sit there and he would talk to my youngest brother about people that lose the focus. And he would sit there and he would say, oh, you know, they lost the focus. And so my younger brother came home, and my younger brother, when he would see people just out of control, yelling, screaming, whatever, he would say, they lost the focus. Then that term graduated to this term that maybe you're familiar with, focus loss. Okay? And so focus loss went beyond just he lost the focus, it went to circumstance. Okay, so anything that was negative, my youngest brother would say that was a focus loss, or he was a focus loss. They lost the focus, whatever. Okay. All right. So here I am, administrative assistant in this church in Wisconsin, and we're going about our business. And we had a problem in this conference. We were planning this conference and we had a problem. And out of the blue, it was really funny. My daughter Sarah and I were just talking about it. Out of the blue, one of the secretaries came up to us and she said, this is a big focus loss. And I just stopped and I thought, I wonder where she heard that term, right? Maybe you hear your kids saying stuff that you say. You know, you catch it. Why is it that our kids always get the negatives and not the positives? Probably because there's more negatives maybe than positives. But the fact of the matter is, if people, we had a fellow in that church, he just passed away a year or so ago. Actually, he was here. His name's Helmut Steckman. He came here the first year I was here. He had second year, we had a tailgate party. Which reminds me, we need to have a tailgate party sometime, brother, if you'd remind me. In any event, he was here and he just passed away. And this fella, every time you asked him, how are you doing? He said this, rejoicing. I must have heard it 1,000 times. How you doing, brother? Oh, we're rejoicing. And you know what? People pick that up. Why? Because he's praising the Lord. And when I praise the Lord, it motivates others to do the same. Praise pleases God. It acknowledges Him for who He is. Praise encourages others. Number three, and I'm sure you can figure this out by now, praise, and I ought to praise God every day because praise helps me. Look at this psalm and what he says. Verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. When I express praise to God, it helps to keep me humble. It helps to keep me humble and recognize, and I've already alluded to this, so we'll move to the next point in a second. It helps me to recognize that the good things in my life come from Him. He opens His hand and He satisfies the desire of every living thing. It helps me to keep the right perspective in my life. You ever have a big success? Well, we all do. You do something really good. You know, you think, hey, I really succeed in this, right? And you start to think, hey, you're something. He's something, not me. And the successes are because of Him. But not only does it help me keep me humble, but it helps me grow in my walk with the Lord. The Lord, verse 17, is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. We need to draw nigh to God. Turn over to Revelation 12 and let me show you something real quick. And then we'll be finished. Revelation 12, I think we'll be finished. Revelation 12 is an interesting verse that the Bible says here. As we look at our own growth, as we look at our adversary, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says this in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You look here, it's interesting. You overcome Satan by the word of your testimony. I was talking this afternoon with some of the folks that visited here this morning. Brother Joe DeCipio was with us, talking about how the Bible is kind of contrary sometimes to our thinking, isn't it? We think, I gotta keep. The Bible says, give, and it will be giving unto you. We think, oh, okay, so the way to get is to give. It's not to hoard. Okay. The Bible says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Huh. So you did me evil, I should do you evil, right? No. I should do you good. So I'm overcoming evil with good. The Bible says this, the greatest of all, we think the greatest of all, is the one that is sitting down and everybody's serving that person, right? You see the story, fanning and feeding grapes, he's the great one. No, the Bible says the greatest of all is the one that is servant, is the servant of all. We think sometimes in our problem situations that the answer is to complain. I think some of the situations that some of the times we find ourselves down or whatever is because of the attack of the devil trying to get us discouraged and defeated. So we think the answer is to complain and to get everybody to feel sorry for me. And I'm convinced that the Bible answer in many times in our lives is to praise. Say, what? That goes contrary. Uh-huh. To praise the Lord in the midst of the difficulties and the hardships in life that we face. To praise God. It's easy to be negative. Rejoice evermore can be a little bit of a challenge. But I'm convinced we've got to be people that praise God no matter what. Two verses more and I'll be finished. Listen as I read Psalm 48 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, Psalm 48. There's so many verses we could talk about on praising the Lord. Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Psalm 52 and verse number 9. The Bible says, I will praise Thee forever because Thou hast done it, and I will wait on Thy name, for it is good before Thy saints. When I read Psalm 145, and I thought, David praises the Lord, every day will I bless Thee. I took a step back and I thought, praise ought to be characteristic in our life. We ought to be able to praise God every day. We live in a society where we have a lot of practical tools at our fingertips. And so after I looked at this psalm, began prayer this message, I said, you know what? I think I praise God every day, but I'm going to make sure. I took out my little phone and I told Mr. here, Siri or Mrs. Siri, whoever it is, to remind me every day to praise the Lord. And every day at 9 o'clock, this thing goes, praise the Lord. And I stop and say, God, I need to praise you. I want to praise you every day. In the midst of the hardships, in the midst of the good, you're worthy of all praise, and praise pleases you. And Lord, my lips of praise about you will influence and encourage other people around me. And Lord, if I become a person of praise, it will help me in my spiritual walk. It'll help me to draw nigh to you and recognize that you are the answer. Without Him, we're nothing. With Him, we have everything. I mean, we have everything. Lord, we love you tonight.